This is part three of my series on setting up a PC, and this has been done at different times and at different stages. So I'm going to try to put these in the right sequence. I've got about 10 or 11 files I'm going to need to piece together here, but this is sort of a preface to everything. One thing I want to mention before I get started is that when you get a new product, you need to really check the shipping carton carefully, because there was one thing that I ordered that I nearly forgot about, and had I not looked at the invoice, I probably would have thrown it out. And this was a little USB to Bluetooth dongle that I ordered, and it's so small, it's about an inch long, and it just plugs into a USB port. And it was in the same bubble wrap that the large battery was, and had I not checked through the shipping carton one last time before doing whatever I did with the shipping carton, I would have missed the dongle, and then I would have looked at the invoice later on and discovered, oh, I threw that thing out. But I did check, and I do have it, so it's worth looking another time or two, checking that you've got everything that you ordered, because in the chaos of unpacking things and organizing things, you can misplace something if you don't double check your invoice to make sure that you got everything. Okay, now I'm going to install JAWS, or at least begin the process, and I'm going to turn on the PC for the very first time. I have turned on my router, which is across the room from me. I have also turned on my wireless access point, so that if this machine is set up to access things wirelessly, then it should be able to do so. I also have my copy of JAWS 7.1, which I downloaded and I copied onto a data CD. And I renamed the file JAWS.exe to make it easy to type in when I need to run it. I also have a copy of JAWS 6.0 here because it came with an authorization CD, which is necessary for the internet access license management type stuff, the ILM, that is required. So, without any further delay, I'm going to press the latch and open the PC. I've discovered that in order to open this thing, you have to kind of put the thing on edge and then press the latch, and then it will start to open on its own. And I'm going to turn it on. I have it plugged into the wall outlet. I have no idea what's going to happen. If it doesn't come up with Microsoft SAM, then I'm going to push the Windows key plus the letter U to see if I can get into the utility manager, which will bring up Narrator. If not, I've just turned on the switch and it's doing something. If not, then I'll just have to use the Opticon and I'll stop this recording. But we're going to see what happens here. I don't usually have Windows Music come up, but since this has not been configured yet, according to what I like, I may hear the Windows Music if I hear anything at all. And so far nothing has happened yet. It's probably going, there it is. What do you know? I don't think it even did a self-test, which is nice. Some of these do. Okay, I'm going to push the Windows key U to see if I can get Narrator to come up, because I want to see if at least if I have a desktop. Okay. Okay. I push spacebar. Okay, I'm going to see what I'm in here. I'm going to do Alt plus Tab. Okay, so I just have Utility Manager and Narrator. I'm going to see if I can get into the desktop with Windows key M. Okay, I'm going to see if I can go to Internet Explorer and access Google. Okay. Ha! Okay. So apparently it can't do Internet Explorer yet, can it? Alright, well I'm going to see if I can install JAWS anyway. So at least we know that we came up with something. At this point, there was a problem with the Intel manager for the wireless device, and it took me quite a long time. In fact, I worked on it for about 4 or 5 hours. I've officially told people 6 hours, and that probably is more accurate, but I went around and around trying to configure that thing, and it just wouldn't configure with JAWS. So I went into the system tray and looked at something that I had been overlooking for 5 hours and started thinking about it during the 6th hour. There was a Microsoft client which could also be used to manage the wireless connection. And I went ahead and checked that and got into it and configured it with no problem whatsoever, and I have a good solid wireless Wi-Fi connection when I choose to use it. Now, when I have the machine plugged in to recharge and I need to use it, then I plug in the Ethernet connection because it is faster. And sometimes I forget to disable the Wi-Fi, which is FN plus F2, and it reminds me every 5 minutes that there are wireless connections within range, but I don't want to use other people's wireless, I want to use mine. And I've got mine set up so that it will use my access point to connect wirelessly when I want it to. So that was why we didn't get a connection to the internet right away. It just was not configured properly. But other people have told me that they've not had any trouble with the Intel ProSet, which is what is used for wireless connections. They say that it works wonderfully with Window Eyes. Well, since I use JAWS, for some reason I couldn't get it to work. So, it's perfectly fine as it is, and it has taken me probably about a week to get this thing set up pretty much the way that I want it. It's beginning to look a lot like my other PC did, with a couple of very minor differences, one being that there is a link to Bluetooth places. It's kind of like my favorite internet places, but since I don't have Bluetooth, I probably am not going to be using that, although I did buy a Bluetooth dongle. It is now Monday, July the 3rd, as I record this. Another thing that I have decided to do is to put the accessories and the documentation into the PC case, and that way that will allow me to get rid of one of the boxes and either use it for something else or do whatever I'm going to do with it. So I'm walking over here to where everything is in this box. I have put things, and I am taking the case out. And I'm going to unzip this large, long back panel. And I'm taking the plastic bag of accessories. I'm keeping everything in the plastic bag so I don't lose it and it doesn't roll around all over. And I'm putting that in here. Fits very nicely. And I'm Trying to zip this back up. And then I'm opening the case, which, as I probably have mentioned, has a zipper on the right when it's closed. Oops, I think I just... I thought I had just closed it rather than opening. And then another zipper on the right when it's closed. So both zippers are on the right when they're closed and on the left when they're open if you have the back pocket facing away from you, or at least the back outside pocket. Okay, now I'm going to open the long pocket inside of the back. This is not where the PC goes, but this is where the other stuff goes. And I'm taking my documentation plastic bag, leaving everything in there because there are CDs in there. I don't want them rolling around or sliding around. And I'm putting everything in here. And I'm going to zip this back up. Trying not to get anything caught in the zipper. There we go. Okay, now that's closed, and now I'm going to zip everything back up. There goes one zipper that zips to the right, and the other zipper zips around the bottom and back up to the right. And that leaves me with another empty box, which I have no clue yet what I'm going to do with. Sometimes these boxes come in extremely handy for certain things. This is a quick sample of what the built-in microphone on this machine sounds like. It's not very loud, so I'm going to make this just a quick test. I am using Studio Recorder with my usual microphone, but on the laptop, and it's pretty much ready for prime time. I have been using it today, which is July the 3rd, and as you will notice, there is very little fan noise. The fan is on the right edge of the machine, and there isn't usually very much hot air coming out of that side of the machine. There's a little grid in between the USB ports and the microphone jack, and that grid is where hot air comes from the PC. And when the fan is on, it's indeed very quiet. So I think that's another plus for this machine. I know that many laptops have the same setup, but this one, as I said, is just outstanding in the way that it was designed and set up for all of us who are blind. I have a couple of observations on the documentation that came with the PC. I looked at it with the Opticon and noticed a couple of things. For one thing, I found it rather interesting that the actual manufacturer's name was not mentioned. The on-site refers to these machines as Visionaries, V-I-S-I-O-N-A-R-Y machines. If you look in the documentation that Beyond Sight has on their website, that's what they call these machines. However, in the print documentation, there is no mention of the manufacturer's name that I could find. In fact, the very first page of the user's guide, actually they would call it the hardware guide, it gives the title of the book, and then you turn the page and on the left side of the page it starts the table of contents. So I couldn't really find any copyright notice to speak of. I may have overlooked some things. It may have been on the inside cover, but I didn't find it, so I found that rather curious. Also, usually the hardware user's guide describes such things as how to get into the BIOS in case you need to change some things in there. And maybe I didn't look closely enough at it since I looked at the table of contents generally and did a quick page through the book to see what there was. And yes, it is all in English. It's about 70 plus pages. Some of the pages only have a few lines on them, though, especially the ones that start the chapters. And there are some pictures throughout, so there's really quite a lot of empty space on some of the pages. I was hoping to find a website or a manufacturer's name so that it might be accessible from the web. You could at least go to the company's website and check out their documentation and get the book online, but I didn't find anything like that. So it really was kind of interesting. As I said, I would have liked to have had a bit more information on the PC itself, especially regarding such things as the menus within the BIOS, and perhaps some things such as reinstalling a new hard drive, some more specifications as to what types of hardware can be installed in the machine safely. The book generally seemed quite skimpy on those topics, but as I said, I probably didn't look close enough at it. So I just thought that was a rather curious situation there, that I couldn't even find a manufacturer's website or their name. But maybe this particular book was an OEM version, which means that they produced it for Beyond Sight. Maybe that was what happened with this. So I'm not criticizing, I'm just observing that this is what I found. I took some notes on a few things I had to modify when I got the machine. As I mentioned previously, one of the things I had to do was to get the wireless connection set up. So I had to go into the system tray and turn off Intel ProSet and enable Microsoft client, and I was able to get JAWS to walk me through the wireless connection, which was pretty painless. And I've had a good solid wireless connection ever since. And I also found Encarta, Encyclopedia, and Microsoft Works, and also Microsoft Money on the machine, and I got rid of those programs, just deleted them. In the control panel, I had to modify the performance settings in the system area of the control panel. And in the control panel menus themselves, it has menus with file, edit, view, tools, things like that, just like a regular program would, because it is in fact a program. Within those menu items, I had to go into Tools and change the folder settings to the classic folder so it would not announce tasks every time I went into a folder. I found it rather annoying when it would go into a folder and say, Music Tasks, and I thought, well, I'm not doing Music Tasks. So if you change that to Classic and do a couple of other things and check apply to all folders once you're done making all the modifications, then it works out very well. Also, within the menus, there were a few items in the view area that I needed to change. And in display within the control panel, there were some things. And then in the start menu itself, there are some properties that are associated with the start menu within the taskbar specifically. There is a multi-page screen. One is for the start menu and one is for the taskbar. And specifically within the taskbar, there were a couple of items that needed to be unchecked. And this was all fairly minor. It was quite easy to do, but if you don't uncheck these things, or if you don't modify some of these things, it can be a little bit annoying. So all in all, it was really quite easy to change some of these things, but a lot of it depended on the fact that I used JAWS, and there were a great many instructions on how to make XP work with JAWS. One thing that I need to confirm is that the model of the laptop that I have is probably a little more recent than the one that was reviewed on BCT. My laptop only has a PCM CIA card slot. It does not have a separate card reader built into the machine. The slot will accommodate a couple of different types of adapters. One adapter will read four different types of cards, including SD and memory sticks and probably a couple of others. And another type of adapter, which is one that I have, will accommodate compact flash cards. And this adapter works especially well. I got it with a CF card that was intended for the Pac-Mate. And this adapter just kind of came along with the package, and it works wonderfully. You slide it into the slot, it goes in far enough that it's pretty well flush with the opening of the slot once you get it in there, and then you slide your card into this thing, and you essentially have a compact flash card reader. Now, when you access the card, I notice that the speech tends to slow down and sound kind of funny, but I don't think that's a degradation at all of speech, because what happens is that it's just reading the card, and although it sounds weird and it sounds a little slower, I really don't care because I'm able to access the data on the card, and I really like that very much. When you want to get the card out, you push the button until it extends out, the button on the PCMCIA card slot. Once the button is extended out to its position where you can actually feel it, where it's about an inch or so away from the edge of the machine, then you push the button and the whole card adapter comes out with the card in it. So that's how you get the card out. It's just a really neat thing that they make these PCMCIA card slots now where you can just put different types of card adapters into them. I really think that's a great idea.
I wanted to make a couple of comments on what you actually pay for when you buy the PC and all of its accessories. The reason the price is a little bit higher, even though I chose not to put WindowEyes on it, is that they did a fabulous job of configuring the machine, and I made a point of writing them a note to compliment them on the job that they did. When I was able to get into the machine, I did find the user's manual. It was on the desktop. There was a shortcut to it. And that was just really, really nice. And it was indeed the LT user's manual. Although I still think it would have been really nice if they had put that on the website so that people could actually read the book before they got the machine to see what they were getting. And that probably will happen one of these days, I'm not sure, but it's a possibility. One thing that they did that I thought was absolutely wonderful was they not only installed Windows on the machine, which in itself takes a good half an hour if you are the type to go in and register your machine with Windows and all of that kind of stuff. That was already done. They activated Windows, so I didn't have to do that. And they went in and they set a lot of the configuration options to the classic mode. They did that in the control panel. They did that for the desktop. They did that for folders. There were a couple of things that needed tweaking in the performance settings in the system set up in the control panel, but that was very minor. They did a lot of this stuff, which generally takes a good hour from start to finish, if you are going to set your PC up from scratch, which I, as I said, I've done that a number of times with Windows PCs. It was a wonderful time saver. It was a great help to me. And I just cannot thank them enough for doing that. Some people probably would not think about this too much. But if you're like me and you have built machines pretty much from the ground up, not from the hardware standpoint, but from the software, then you really appreciate all the effort that goes into it. And I must say, I just thought that was outstanding. It is really a treat to turn on a PC and be able to go through folders without having to go into the control panel and adjust folder setup so that you have to sort things by name and not by icon, and you get a straight list. They had everything set to lists, which is what I prefer. A lot of people like details, but I find that details just drives me crazy. It tells you too much. I don't always want to know the day and the time the file was created and the size. Now, sometimes I do want to know the size, but not very often. So they set everything to list, which I suppose is probably what they use as their default. And it has been wonderful. Even on my external drives that I have plugged in, everything has been sorted by file name, and it has been sorted in list format. And it has just been great. It saved me a lot of tweaking and fooling around and stuff. I really must commend Beyond Sight for doing all the work that they did. They even called me to alert me when the machine was shipped. And I had a very nice conversation with the lady on the phone. I'm not sure if it was Loretta. It might have been, but what an absolutely delightful conversation that was. So, if you have a need for a small computer, which is not only small, but very quiet, and very much set up for blind people, then I highly recommend this. Granted, you're going to pay a bit more, but it's well worth it. Maybe I'm showing my age or my frustration with the general world of setting up technology, but I really find it a treat when I can get a PC that is so adapted for my needs as a blind person. I didn't used to be this way. I used to be the type who just said, you adapt to the sighted world regardless of what it takes. And that's the way that I've always worked. But I don't know. As I said, maybe I'm just... When you reach the age of 55, you get to the point where you just had enough trying to adapt to everybody else. And it's about time for something that has already been adapted for me as a blind person to show up in my life. And it did. And I must say, I'm delighted. I wanted to make a couple of comments about the convenience of having a laptop machine. One of the things that I've noticed that has been extremely favorable is that some of the USB connections that I could not fit into my older machine fit into this one. For example, the USB for my Olympus WS320 machine didn't fit into the older machine that I had, my Pentium 3, that has been delegated to another room of the house, actually. I'm using that as a backup machine. And I had to use the cable that came with the Olympus in order to use it with a PC. Well, this laptop is accommodating because I can plug the 320 directly into it, which is just great. So no need for another cable. Another thing that I find really convenient is that I can take the machine over to my stereo system, plug it into my stereo, and play the speech and the audio through my stereo speakers if I want to. Or something I am starting to do quite often now is to plug in a set of wireless headphones into the stereo and listen to podcasts while walking around. Now, the problem with that is I don't have the convenience of my bookport with me, so I don't have the buttons, but I do have the ability to walk around and listen to podcasts. I can listen to them with Studio Recorder and speed things up considerably if I find that the pace of a podcast is just a little bit too slow for my taste. Then I can adjust the speed of the audio with Studio Recorder, and it works out very, very well. So, just the convenience of being able to take the laptop, and this is true with any laptop, especially if you have a wireless Wi-Fi connection built into it, is as long as you're in range of your wireless router or your access point, whatever you're using, then you can just take the machine anywhere, and you have a keyboard built into the machine, and you also have a keypad if you need it, and I do. I like a numeric keypad. And you can just go anywhere in your house and even sit outside on a sunny day and do your work on your PC. In my case, I have some items that I still like to plug into the PC when I use it as a desktop. And so I still have an area on my kitchen table where I've got a series of plugs that go into different jacks on the PC. For example, my external hard drives and my Ethernet connection. I do like a very fast Ethernet connection for downloading podcasts and larger files. But the convenience is such that I can just keep those plugs in a certain place and I know right where they are. I also like to use external speakers when I'm using the machine as a desktop, so I just keep those plugs together, and then I can easily just plug everything in, and it just works out very well. So you just cannot beat the convenience of a laptop machine. I just am totally, totally delighted with this. I'm going to review the keyboard. I'm looking at my notes that I took on the Braille Light when I listened to the manual that came on an audio CD. The spacebar row from left to right contains the FN key, which is used in combination with other keys, as you'll see. To the right of that is Control, the Windows key, the Alt key, the spacebar, the right Alt key, the Start key, the Windows or Application key, the Control key, the left arrow, down arrow, and right arrow, and the up arrow is just above the down arrow. And these arrow keys are marked as the F and the J are. They're marked in the same way. They have a line on them. Above all of these, at the very, very top of the keyboard, are from the left is the escape key, as you would expect, and then the 12 function keys. And to their right are pause, print screen, insert, and delete. And delete is in the uppermost of the keyboard. It's the upper right key. The F4, F8, and F12 keys have dots on them, as does the enter key. Below the delete key is the backspace, below that the backslash, below that the enter key, and below that is another FN key. To do a page up and a page down, you would push FN plus the up arrow or down arrow, respectively. To do a home, you would push FN plus the left arrow. End is FN plus the right arrow. Then there are a series of functions that are used with the function keys in addition to pressing the FN key. Sleep or standby is initiated by pushing FN plus F1. The toggle for Wi-Fi on and off is FN plus F2. Open the email client as FN plus F3. Open the web browser as FN plus F4. Brighten the LCD display is FN plus F5. And to diminish the brightness is FN plus F6. Toggle the LCD screen on and off. On is the default at the boot up. FN plus F7. Send the video image to VGA. There is a VGA port on the right side of the edge. And that's FN plus F8. Toggle the mouse pad on or off, FN plus F9. Toggle the speakers on or off, FN plus F10. So if you don't hear any sounds, you just do FN and F10, and hopefully that'll bring the sound back on. Volume down, this is the master volume, FN plus F11. And master volume up is FN plus F12. To toggle the scroll lock on or off is FN plus delete. Toggle the num lock on or off is FN plus insert. And to power down the machine, you just push the power button. There's no need to do the start and choosing the shutdown option, although that will work also if you're used to doing that. There is a power gear button on the top of the machine on the upper left, right below the display. It's on the opposite end of the power button. The power is on the right, the power gear is on the left. This is a way of determining how much power you're actually going to allow the battery to be used on your machine. If you're running a lot of heavy-duty stuff, you need it in the high mode, which is, I believe, the default. It toggles among high, medium, and low. And if you choose the power gear low choice, it will minimize the battery requirements and it will extend the use, but it'll result in a performance degradation and things will slow down somewhat. So that's all I know about the keyboard and the general workings of the laptop.